Hello, thank you. My name is Latoya Hill, and I am the CDC CSTE Applied Epidemiology Fellow in Maternal and Child Health at the Virginia Department of Health. And one of my interests during my fellowship was looking at social determinants of health and how they impact birth outcomes. So one of my major projects for my fellowship was looking at neighborhood factors related to disparities in low birth weight in Virginia. Before I begin, I wanted to acknowledge my co-authors, my mentor, Derek Chapman in Rexford, our spatial analyst in Virginia Department of Health, and I will be remiss and in trouble if I did not acknowledge CSTE in the financial support. So to begin, low birth weight is defined as infants born weighing less than 2,500 grams, and these infants are at increased risk for mortality and morbidity, including school readiness, disabilities, to name a few. So although these rates have leveled off in recent years, there have been substantial increase in preterm and low birth weight over the past 30 years. So as you can see here, but as you can see here, this graph represents the rate of low birth weight deliveries in Virginia from 2005 to 2011, and it hovered between 8 and 8.6%, which is comparable to the national average of 8.3%. And as with many birth outcomes, there are racial and ethnic disparities in low birth weight deliveries. So as you can see, the top blue line is Black non-Hispanic low birth weight rate in Virginia, which is around 12 to 13% over the between 2002 and 2013, compared to the white, the non-Hispanic rate of between 6 and 7% during the same time frame. Another disparity is looking at the spatial variation of low birth weight across the state of Virginia. So as you can see, there's some, the light yellow represents low rates of low birth weight deliveries from 0 to 6.3, and the dark blue areas are highly elevated rates of low birth weight deliveries from 12.7 to 21.9. And as we take a closer look, you can see there's some clustering in pockets of areas where there are multiple area census tracts with the darker areas on the right. You can see that's Richmond City, that's the capital of Virginia. It's a very urban area with pockets of poverty, which is where you will see those dark blue areas of increased rates of low birth weight deliveries. On the left, the upper left corner, this is Fairfax, Virginia. It's one of the most affluent areas. It borders Washington, D.C., and it actually has the second highest median income in the country. And as you can see, there's more clustering of the yellow areas, or the rates of low birth weight delivery are lower. So these spatial patterns represent different social forces that sort us into different networks and locations as a result of choices, stratification, and economic factors. Just some theory as to why we want to look at some of these neighborhood factors. So again, neighborhood conditions can influence health and well-being, including these social, economic, and environmental characteristics, such as education and income, things we're used to studying. So one thing to consider is when you look at things across the state, sometimes it blurs the actual social factors at play at the neighborhood level. So this is why we want to take a look at the smaller geographic units, such as census tract, as we did in this study. So our study questions for this analysis were, are there areas of significantly higher rates of low birth weight deliveries? Is there a relationship between neighborhood factors and low birth weight deliveries by census tract? And does this relationship vary? Plan for analysis. So there was a process we used, starting with a hotspot analysis, to identify areas with statistically significant clusters of high rates of low birth weight delivery. The next step was to do a linear regression to determine which neighborhood factors were significant predictors of low birth weight deliveries, followed by a geographically weighted regression, which allows us to model how these relationships vary over space. These are the results of our hotspot analysis. So as you can see, the areas in red are the areas with statistically significant higher rates of low birth weight delivery. And they tend to cluster in the Norfolk, the Sorry, you don't know Virginia. As you can see, there's a cluster of red. I wish I had a laser. Thank you. This is our Richmond City area. This is the, like we showed earlier in the previous slide, which has an elevated, statistically significant higher risk of low birth weight deliveries. And here we have a cold spot, which means it's statistically significant to have lower rates of low birth weight deliveries. And again, the same area we showed earlier of Fairfax, Virginia. So we moved on to our linear regression to see the association between neighborhood factors and the low birth weight delivery rate. For our neighborhood variables, we got them from different sources, one of which being our Health Opportunity Out Index. In Virginia, our Office of Minority Health and Health Equity developed a really great tool known as the Health Opportunity Index. And basically they created an index, which is a composite of social determinants of health known to affect health outcomes. And these indicators that you see on the left are the different indicators that were compiled to create one composite index known as the Health Opportunity Index. But we looked at the individual indicators themselves to see how they varied with the relationship of low birth weight. We also pulled some census variables and also the food access variable from the food atlas. These are the results from the linear regression. The bolded variables from education through public assistance were statistically significant in the relationship with low birth weight deliveries in Virginia. And so by understanding which variables were statistically significant, this would allow us to then move on to the next step of geographically weighted regression. And I want you to keep in mind the adjusted R-squared. When moving on to geographically weighted regression, usually it should improve your model. You would want to see a higher geographically weighted regression result because that lets you know that there is variation across space. So please keep in mind the R-squared of 0.38. So to move forward to the next part of the presentation, we're going to take a look again at those two regions we mentioned before, of Richmond, Virginia, and Fairfax, Virginia. So geographically weighted regression, one second, allows us to analyze the variation of local regression results. So you're able to see the strength of the relationship by indicator for each census tract and how it varies across space. So these maps indicate the results of the varying levels of association between the selected risk factor and the rates of low birth weight adjusted for the other risk factors in the model. The top two maps show the association between public assistance and rates of low birth weight in census tracts across Richmond on the left and Fairfax on the right. The census tracts of darker blue indicates area where the association between increasing percentage of residents receiving public assistance and increasing rates of low birth weight infants is the strongest. Conversely, the yellow and light green census tracts are area where the relationship is weakest. As you can see, many of the census tracts in Richmond are blue, while Fairfax is mostly yellow and light green, indicating that public assistance is a stronger predictor of the rate of low birth weight deliveries in Richmond. The bottom two maps show the association between education and rates of low birth weight in census tracts across Richmond again on the left and Fairfax on the right. In these maps, the darker blue represent area where the association between decreasing education and increasing rates of low birth weight is strongest, and the yellow, light green areas is where the relationship is weakest. In summary, we identified significant clusters of low birth weight deliveries throughout Virginia. Our linear regression showed us that education, racial residential diversity, population density, the Townsend Deprivation Index, Black race, female-headed household, and receipt of public assistance were all independent predictors of low birth weight deliveries in Virginia. And our geographically weighted regression allowed for the identification of local key predictor variables. For our next steps, these results were utilized to help inform ongoing and future projects and policy decisions in Virginia, including our COIN to reduce infant mortality and also Virginia Thriving Infant Strategic Plans. We're also in the process of beginning to look at community health assessments. So this is another way we're using the local context. We can be able to use that information to also find out what local variables are at play. And some further research include multi-level modeling and utilizing an intergenerational birth cohort to look at how neighborhood factors over time, both historically and current, may have affected birth outcomes. Thank you.
Are we doing questions at the end or no?
We have time for a few questions now. If anyone has any questions for LaToya.
Yes. Yes, there's a USDA Food Access at Research Atlas available online, and it has there's a food access composite variable, which is composed of distance to, there's different components of how they come up with the total, but it's available online, and it's by census tract.
The sort of low R-square that you showed in the beginning, I think what you're seeing is the issue of small numbers in the census tract, so they vary randomly, so you're seeing the association, but I think perhaps if you did a little bit more aggregation, you'd get a very much stronger R-square, something you might want to think about. And the other question I had is, why did you not just use singleton births, so that you're not dealing with people that are taking fertility drugs and having twins and things like that. Was there a reason that you looked at all low birth weight as opposed to singleton low birth weight?
I didn't discuss exclusions, but that data set did exclude non-singleton births. Sorry.
Oh, so it was singleton births that you were low birth weight?
Yes.
Okay, because the rates seem to be like up around 8%, which is more than we see for all over the place.
I excluded multiple births.
Okay. I think the trend chart was all births from a different report. Right? That was one of those commissioner reports. So I think the trend chart of low birth rate was all the geospatial analysis was singleton. So.
Yeah, no, when I saw 8%, that would have been all low birth rate as opposed to 5 or 6%.
This is what you're referring to.
8.6% is...
Yes, this was just providing some context for what low birth weight looked like in Virginia.
Yes, that is correct. That is all births.
Okay. Yes, sorry.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't
paying
attention.
Okay.
Yes.
So I noticed you used the Townsend index, and I think that's the one that has poverty in it, right? One of those. So I guess I want to ask, why didn't you include poverty?
Yes, Townsend it doesn't include poverty per se, but it does include, it's a proxy, but it included other variables that get at poverty, so that's why poverty was not included. But we did include other proxies for poverty. I'm sorry, I don't know which way I'm going. Okay, yes, so we included percent receiving public assistance. We also included percent female-headed household. So we included other proxies for poverty, including the Townsend and Deprivation Index. And just because I think the actual deprivation of the neighborhood as opposed to just poverty and income. Yes.
Did you look at adequacy of prenatal care? Because there's some information on the birth certificate data that allows you to look at how many times
We were interested in neighborhood variables that predicted low birth weight. So we only focused on those social determinants of health that were predictors of low birth weight for this study.
Communities.
Yes.
A whole host of those things would be part of the multi-level analysis where we look at
the individual
relative
things,
to
the
context.
Yes.
I've never done a geographically weighted regression, but that's where you identify a neighborhood of polygons, right?
Yes.
So how did you choose the size of your neighborhood?
So you actually, there's a process you go through in ArcGIS, and there's a really great tutorial on Esri's website. But basically, geographically weighted regression takes into consideration all of the neighboring census tracts in order to determine the variation. So our census tract was the individual unit, and it compared it to the neighboring census tracts. I believe, so when you do the geographically weighted regression, you can have ArcGIS actually determine the best fit for the polygon it should use to do the regression, and that's the process we use.
Any more questions?
1,533 census tracts in Virginia. For the 2000, we use 2000 census tracts. We currently have 17 and some change, but for this study, there was
1,533. I
do not have guidance for the ideal sample size for a geographically weighted regression. Great question. I can look into that for you. And also, there's a really great tutorial on ArcGIS's website that walks you through the entire process. But I am not a spatial analyst myself, so I cannot get into those technical details of geographically weighted regression. Yes.
Your census variables, then they were all different to the year 2000?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.